I guess it's the best kept secret in all the pro-life movement. God planned my parenthood. God planned my parenthood. I want to move on to what this stuff means. What does all this mean? Lesbians out there talking about the end of marriage as we know it. Actresses out there talking about my first abortion as if she's had multiple ones and being cheered on. Talking points at Democrat national circuses talking about, I made the decision that was right for me, best for me. Was it best for the little soul that never got a chance to be a saint? We live amongst an evil, folks, that is truly diabolical and evil. You know, on yesterday's show, we talked about the eco-sexual wackos and how they're out there cavorting about, sliding around in the mud, making love, humping trees and what have you. Now, these people are close cousins of what used to be known as pagans. And a pagan at least had, I say at least, a pagan at least had or operated from the standpoint that there was such a concept or a thing to them as gods. They might have thought the earth was a god. They might have thought there were gods of the trees. There might have been gods of the sky or whatever the case was. At least a pagan had the concept of a god. And thus, when the Christians, St. Paul and St. Peter and St. Andrew and the rest of them came through, the pagans could be converted because they already believed in God. And when by the power of the Holy Spirit, when it was revealed to them that the gods they believed in weren't gods at all, that they were demons, and the true God, the one true God, was revealed with the one true religion to back him up, well then, they could be converted. As a matter of fact, last night on Reconquest, Brother Andre Marie's guest, her name escapes me at the moment, but she's a wonderful guest, and she's just an authority when it comes to all things Christendom and Spain. Anyways, I was listening to it on my way home last night, and I heard her talking about how, well, you know, brother, not enough credit is given to the Spanish, and not enough acknowledgement is made of what it was that the Spanish were able to accomplish. And the Spanish, God bless them, were able to accomplish things that the Italians and the French and the English weren't. And they were able to accomplish the conversion of tens of millions of Native Americans, Indians, whatever you want to call them, all throughout the Caribbean islands, all throughout what we know as Mexico today, all throughout Central and South America. They were able, all throughout California, as we've been talking about, as we talk about often, when a city in California that's named for a saint goes demonic, goes Moloch, goes Baphomet. You know, the Spanish were able to convert tens upon tens of millions. What chance is there to convert the Satanist? Think about that. Does Elise Hoag believe that there is a God? Does Martha Plimpton and the rest of them yucking it up about her first abortion and her best abortion, does she believe that there is a God? Because if she does, well, then you could see the path forward to conversion. When you can be present when the Holy Ghost softens the heart and moves the will to admit that, wait a minute, those are actually souls, and I have one too, and I killed it, and I robbed it of its chance. I robbed it of its opportunity to become a saint. There are, these are questions that need to be asked. And any effort to combat this and take it on head on has to have these considerations. Otherwise, you're just the whiner, carper, complainer, bitcher, and moaner that goes and shows up at a town hall meeting with a placard, screams at the mayor, screams at the member of Congress, screams at somebody else across the room, and accomplishes absolutely nothing toward self-government. As we talked about in the first hour of the program, that you can get as a download at crusadechannel.com. So what's the strategy? Well, the first thing is you got to understand who the enemy is. You can't defeat the enemy unless you identify it. So when I play these clips back to back and you hear who it is that, or what the enemy is, we try to identify who the enemy is, let's be clear about it.
Approach challenges with clear eyes and full hearts. To succeed in life, all we need are the tools, the trust, and the chance to chart our own path. I was fortunate enough to have these things when I found out I was pregnant years ago. I wanted a family, but it was the wrong time. I made the decision that was best for me, to have an abortion and get compassionate care at a clinic in my own community.
Hey, let's clear. Let's cheer.
I also had my first abortion at the Seattle Planned Parenthood. Yay!
Dang!
Listen to the cheer.
Notice I said first. I said first, and I don't want Seattle, I don't want you guys to feel insecure. It was my best one.
It was my best one. Now, what are we dealing with here? You think you're just dealing with women that are deranged? You think maybe they're just a little bit misguided? Think about that again. There is clear purpose. There is clear intent. There is clear satisfaction in executing the intent. That does not indicate insanity, is not to indicate mental instability. Now, they may truly be mentally unstable because they think like this. That indicates methodology. There's a method behind this. The method, you think about it. Now, think of it like this. He who causes scandal to be done, I'm paraphrasing here, to the least of these, it would be better for him that a millstone were to be tied around his neck and he cast to the bottom of the sea. The least of these children, for Laura was referring to, causing sin to be committed, I'd say, yucking it up, laughing and boasting and bragging about it in public, most certainly it's going to encourage, it's going to put the thought into some kid's mind that's going to hear it that, hey, it's okay. Famous people whack their children all the time. You know what? Famous people get knocked up all the time, too, because they don't know their physiology. Either that or they don't care. So what is then the abortion amount to? It amounts to birth control. Now, because there is intent, because there is free will, and then because there is execution, there is no doubt and there can be no doubt about what both of those women have done. And they have both committed and are encouraging others to commit mortal sins. Now, we've lost the concept of mortal sins. We think mortal sin. Minister Church, please. What is this mortal thing you speak of? Well, it's not hard to figure out. Mortal sin, obviously, is a sin that stains your soul and damns you to hell. It assigns you to damnation. You can be forgiven for it, but you've got to acknowledge it. Note that it takes the will to commit the mortal sin, and then you have to have the will committed to get the mortal sin forgiven in the act of reconciliation. That's the best way. So there's free will at both stages here. Now, you might go out. I might go out. Sure I have. And commit a mortal sin. And they go, what do I do? Rush off to the confessor. Confess it. Get a penance. Do the penance. Continue to be ashamed, mortified, embarrassed. You offended God, who's worthy of all of our love. And try to avoid it the next time. There's no contrition here. You know, one of the best prayers I ever heard anyone say that you could say easily on a daily, on a moment-by-moment basis. You can say it silently or out loud. You can thump your chest where your heart is if you want to. You don't have to. But, oh, Lord, grant me the grace to have a humble and contrite heart. You strike your breast with the contrite. Humble and contrite. What, you think about that. Humble and contrite. Humble meaning not proud. Humble meaning knowing the order, knowing your place in the order. Contrite meaning sorrowful, remorseful, mortified. Contrite meaning I didn't mean it. I take it back. I'm sorry. I apologize. Mercy, mercy, forgive me. Both of these instances where we have these diabolical women chortling on and being cheered on by other diabolical doing the work of demons that they can't see but most certainly are present, there's no contrition and there's no humility. As a matter of fact, the boast and the brag of the act is the opposite of humble, isn't it? And I say all these things as just kind of a brush-up lesson, if you will, on how it is or what it is that we're confronted here. These are not just your average... Look, these women have not been put into or allowed themselves to be placed into these scenarios and situations by accident. It's happening for a purpose. And the purpose is the destruction of the civilization. Oh, I'm in a church, please. Now you sound like a conspiracy theorist. It's not a conspiracy if it's happening right in front of you, right in front of your very eyes. Let's now go to the Pete Belinsky piece at LifeSite News about the death of Dubia, signer Cardinal Kafara. And all this will be made clear and tied together, I think. By the by, our telephone number, if you'd like to call and comment on this, 844-527-8723, 844-5-CRUSADE, number you can call me. You can also go to the chat room. It's live at MikeChurch.com. Click on the Mike Church Show live chat. You can comment on the Twitter feed at The King Dude or on the Facebook Mike Church Show fan page. Cardinal Carlo Cafaro, one of the four cardinals who sent Pope Francis the Dubia asking for clarity on Amoris Laetitia, died at 79. The Vatican has confirmed he is the second Dubia cardinal to die in the last 2 months. German cardinal Joachim Meisner died peacefully in his sleep in July, holding his breviary and preparing to offer mass. That leaves two cardinals at sign, Cardinal Raymond Burke, 69, and Walter Brandmuller, 88. And then I'll skip some of the obituary stuff. Let's get to this. The cardinal served as a member of the Congregation for the Causes of Saints, the Supreme Tribunal of the Apostolic Signatura, the Pontifical Council for the Family, and the Pontifical Academy for Life. In 2008, Cafara gave an interview in which he spoke about a letter he had received from the last Fatima Sia, Sister Lucia dos Santos, concerning the final battle between God and Satan. When the cardinal wrote to Sister Lucia 36 years ago, asking for her prayers as he began the process of founding the Institute, he never expected a reply. Instead, the seer responded with a message of profound significance. Kafara explained. It's what he said in 2009 about this. 2008, quote, "In her letter, we find written, the final battle between the Lord and the reign of Satan will be about marriage and the family." Marriage and the family. "Don't be afraid," she added, "because anyone who operates for the sanctity of marriage and the family will always be contented and opposed in every way, because this is the decisive issue." And then she concluded, "However, Our Lady has already crushed its head." Did you get that? Then she concluded, "However, Our Lady has already crushed his head, its head."